Hey, how's it going? Welcome back to Indie Music Diaries. My name's Lockie. It's casual conversations with real musicians. And so excited to have Lucy Pahl on the show today. We talk about her new single, Backup, which just came out. And it was a cool chat too, because she's just turned 18 and she talks about how she's sort of grown up in music and she's been writing songs since a young age. And it's really cool hearing her. She's got such a mature perspective for someone so young. So hopefully you can get something out of this chat I have with her. In other news, the EP is out right now. My debut EP, Crushing You, is available to stream everywhere, which is very exciting. So I'll make sure to have that linked as well as all of Lucy's stuff in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast. But let's jump into the chat right now. It's Lockie and Lucy Pahl on Indie Music Diaries. All right, joining me right now is a very talented young artist by the name of Lucy Pahl. How's it going, Lucy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very well. And thanks so much just for taking the time out to join me on the podcast. And I'm so keen to sort of talk about your music and your story. And let's jump straight into it. So let people know who have never heard of Lucy Pahl. What sort of music do you make and what are you about?
So the music that I write is kind of pop, indie, folk, country kind of thing. It's kind of a little mush of all of them together, which is really interesting for me when it comes to songwriting. And what I'm all about is basically music and everything about it. And I suppose my story is kind of, I started writing music when I was really young, probably about 10. And the songs were really bad. And I got into music through my grandfather, who used to tell my mom that I could sing. And so I got into singing lessons through him. And then that kind of followed with guitar lessons and then piano lessons. And so once I kind of had all that under my belt, that's when I started writing. And I just never stopped writing. And then I kind of thought that this could be my career through Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus, because I used to listen to them all the time. And I knew that they wrote their own songs. And so I always thought, I was like, well, hey, if they can do it, then I can do it too. So that's kind of where it all started. And that's kind of how whenever I kind of doubt myself, I just go back to that. I'm like, you know, this is what you've wanted to do forever. Like, don't let yourself down. Like, just keep going. You've got this kind of thing. So that's kind of what I'm all about.
So good. And I love that simple piece of advice that you sort of tucked in there at the end, that like you wanted to do this forever. Like, I think some people, like, I get that sometimes where like I sort of struggle with like, you know, keep maintaining the passion and stuff like that. So, so good. And I mean, we were saying just before off air that you released your debut EP back in 2017, and you were how old then?
When I wrote the songs, I was 12 and 13, and when I put the EP out, I think I was 14.
That's because I was listening to it just before, and like the songs like sound really good, like they're like top quality stuff. And to the fact that you were like so young, and produced a record at that age, and to put it out, and you're still putting out music now as well, and we'll talk about the newer stuff as well, shortly. That's just awesome, and you know the fact that you were writing stuff from such a young age, but where did that start for you, sort of the desire to want to start writing songs? Was it literally just sort of you had those musical idols that were writing their own stuff like Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus? Or, you know, did you start sort of getting into poetry at a young age?
Yeah.
Where did that sort of talk about those early stages of that songwriting? Because I've always found that period really interesting.
Yeah, well, when I was really young, like I was in primary school, I would have been just learning how to write. And I used to write little books. Like I used to write picture books kind of thing.
So good, yeah.
And I had a whole series and it was called this. It was like Samantha. Her name was Samantha and she'd go on all these different adventures and I would like write the little books. Like it'd only have like two lines on a page and then I'd draw little pictures.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and so that's kind of how I started like with the whole writing thing, was probably through that. But I don't really know why I decided to do that. I feel like it was kind of like, I say this a lot, where like I feel like it's just always been in me, if that makes sense. Because I don't know.
The storyteller, like, yeah.
Yeah, I just have a knack for, I don't know, writing. Like I it also has a downfall as well, because I can never talk about things, but I can always write a song about things, you know, because I find it so hard to go up to someone and be like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. But when I'm alone in my room, you know, I could say all of that, you know.
Yeah, so it definitely has, so much.
Yeah, it definitely has its downsides. But, yeah, that's how I kind of got into it, was just writing little stories. And then from that, I think, yeah, it was my idols, and I learned that they wrote songs, and I kind of was just like, well, that's what I want to do then, you know.
That's so good. And I love that sort of, that it can come from such a pure thing, like just like writing your own books, that storyteller thing. It's such a cool thing to start developing that at a young age. And some people, they start a lot later. Like a lot of the guests that I've, majority of the guests that I've sort of had on Indie Music Diaries seem to be writing songs later, teens. That's sort of something that comes later. But it sounds like for you, you started like sort of really early on in the process, which is so cool. Talk to us about the point where you realized that maybe the songs that you were writing were like pretty good, and you thought, maybe I can make this a thing, record it, start releasing it. And, you know, as we mentioned just before, you know, you were 12, 13 years old when you were making this first EP, which is so young. And that's so cool. I wish I had done that when I was 12 years old, make my first EP. But, was it like a moment of time where you sort of, it flicked and you're like, oh, these songs are actually not bad, I should share these.
Gosh, I don't really know. I feel like I would always share my songs with my mom, and my mom has always been really honest with me through everything, like whatever I do. And she would always tell me if she didn't like a song, like if she didn't like a song that I wrote, she would say to me, look, I don't really like that one. And so when she kind of started telling me that she liked my songs, I was kind of like, well, it's like, it's not her saying that. She actually likes what I'm writing, you know? And she, yeah. I remember when I first started writing, she would like hide outside of my room and listen to what I was writing. And she would just come in when I would finish playing and she'd be like, is that your song, Lucy? And I'd be like, yeah. And she'd be like, that's really good. And so that's kind of how I kind of gained that confidence. But to put the EP out, I actually did a course with my singing studio called Palm Tree Studios. So that's the singing school that I go to. And they ran a course. It was like a songwriting course. And we would go there, I think, once a week for like 2 hours. And each week we'd get someone in who is a songwriter. So we had like Sarah Humphreys. We had Sammy Constantine, we had Tori Forsyth. And so we got all these people who were already songwriters and successful songwriters to come in and kind of show us what songwriting is and how to develop that skill. And at the end of that course, the whole point of it was to record and put out an EP. And so they would kind of fund all of that to, you know, get our names out there and all that kind of stuff. So they funded our producer and all that. And that's kind of how I put it out. It was just through that course.
Wow. Yeah. And I have heard of Palm Trees. Yeah, that Palm Tree Studios, that locally on the Central Coast. Hey.
Yeah.
And that's so good to, especially to have like an avenue like that where the sort of pathways are sort of given to you to be able to, you know, to have the opportunities to do something as cool as that, especially at a young age.
100%.
And I was listening back to, as I was saying before, I was listening back to that EP and I was like, man, like I was like impressed with those songs. And then you've gone out as well and released a couple more since then. So you got the new one, which just came out a couple weeks ago, back up, and as well Crayon Sun, which has already amassed 16,500 streams on Spotify. So tell us about these songs. We'll start off with Crayon Sun. And plus, this is a music video, which I was watching and I was like, this looks terribly familiar. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's Mount Penang Garden.
Yeah.
Which is a really nice setting for a music video. Let's dive into Crayon Sun, because this is a couple of years after you sort of did the EP, maybe starting to mature a bit as an artist and discover yourself.
Yeah.
Tell us about maybe that process sort of as you came up to release Crayon Sun. Were you recording stuff all the way along the way? Or did you, like, you decide, like, to release this? Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, So a couple of, I'll start back to kind of where it all started. A couple of years ago, I was approached by my publisher now at Origin Music Publishing. And the main person there that I deal with is Philip Mortlock. And he said to me when we first met, he said, don't release any of your songs yet. I just want you to write and write and write and write and record. And so that's what I did for like almost 3 years. I just wrote songs and I recorded them. Like I'd do demos, all that kind of stuff. And then when Crayon Sun kind of came about, I had this whole Dropbox full of songs that I'd recorded. And so Philip sent all those songs to who is now my label, Double Drummer. And at the time, they loved Crayon Sun. And Crayon Sun at this point was on Triple J Unearth High. And so I got a really good reaction from Triple J Unearth High. I got lots of reviews and I performed well in the competition. And so Double Drummer kind of said to me, we want to release this song with you. Like, we want to help you put this song out. And so I was like, okay, awesome, let's do that. And they wanted to get it out quickly because they wanted to kind of roll off the Unearth High stuff. And so that's kind of how that song all came out. And then after that, I signed, I think it's a 4-year contract with Double Drummer. And so it all kind of just came from everyone else believing in me, really, because I don't think I ever would have, you know, put it out. And I don't think it ever would have done as well as it did if I didn't have all those people to back me up and be like, hey, this is a good song. You've got something here. Let's put it out, you know?
Interesting. Yeah, that's quite an interesting story, actually, because it's not often that you're, that is cool, sort of hearing how, like, when you receive that sort of backing. Because I think in the early days, a lot of people sort of just, you know, like releasing stuff just sort of on the fly, like home recordings and stuff. But the other thing as well, there's like a really polished sound across all of your stuff as well. Like, it's all well recorded and well produced. And it's quite consistent as well. Like, it's got that really, your sound is almost already becoming iconic in a way. That's sort of Taylor Swift-esque. Like, the EP was like really reminding me of like really early Taylor Swift stuff as well. And obviously did really, really well. And then that sort of led you to coming up into this year. So Backup. So was it a similar story with Backup? Was this one of those songs that you had recorded along the way and that, you know, the label and everyone was sort of, you know, pushing for you to release this one? Yeah, tell us about Backup.
Yeah. Well, Backup, I recorded Backup a long while ago. I think I wrote it in late 2018 and I recorded it, I think, like mid-2019, kind of around there. And then, yeah, it was kind of just in my back catalogue and I was just, you know, it was just there. And all the time I'm entering all these songwriting competitions because, you know, why not? Might as well enter all the songwriting competitions. And so I entered the ISC, the International Songwriting Competition, which is kind of a big deal. Like, I don't know, it just is. I've just been told it's a big deal. And so I won the teen category for that competition with Backup. Wow. And so after that, my label was like, we need to get this song out now and we're going to get it out soon. And so we basically, they had a chat to their distributors and came back with two dates. And one of them was in 2 weeks and the other one was in a month. And we were kind of like, 2 weeks, probably a little bit soon. Don't know if we're going to give it full potential if we put it out in 2 weeks. So yeah, we waited a month and we got a whole lyric video for it, which was really interesting because all of my label guys, they live in Sydney. And so it was kind of like COVID, but we didn't know if it would be a good idea to go and meet with them kind of thing. So we did it all just back and forth through email, which was really hectic. So I literally recorded myself in my lyric video in my lounge room, which was a really interesting experience because it was like I was just filming on my iPhone and that's how it all came about. So, yeah, Backup came out and it's done pretty well so far. Crayon Sun, well, my main aim for Backup was to get some traction on Spotify. Because for Crayon Sun, I got on playlists for Apple Music. I got on 5 playlists on Apple Music, but I didn't get anything on Spotify. So what I wanted for Backup, I was like, I really want to get something from Spotify, like just something little. And so my publisher, that Origins team worked on getting me in just the, I don't know what they're called, the like artists, like you can just make playlists, just the people who make playlists.
Yeah.
And so I got on a few of them, but then I actually got on one of Spotify's playlists. I got on Chilled Acoustic, I'm pretty sure it's called. Chilled Afternoon, that's what it's called. And so I got on that. And so that's where my streams have kind of gone up heaps for Spotify, because I got on that playlist. But yeah, I'm really happy with how it's going, because my main aim was just to get on a Spotify playlist or get some traction from Spotify, which I have now. So stepping stone.
Yeah, and it seems to be working, and it seems to be doing pretty well. It's I want to ask you about the process with working with people at a label, and you mentioned the thing as your publisher as well. What was his name again, the publisher?
Philip.
That's right, Philip, the publisher.
Publisher.
Yeah. Something that I've struggled with a bit, and I know a bunch of other artists struggle with, is being able to let go, to let people maybe in highest positions of power in the music industry sort of make decisions when it comes to music. I've spoken to a lot of artists that are very protective about their work, and I've struggled with this many times as well, where I feel like sometimes I get stuck in my own vision, and sometimes that can be a bad thing, because you know, sometimes it is good to offload things to other people and
100%.
You know, have their experience and their, you know, sort of their input can be really beneficial to the process. You've worked for, it seems to be quite a while now, with all these sort of different people in the music industry. What has your thought process been like so far? And maybe what would your advice be to someone maybe in your position, you know, like if you were to give some advice for someone who maybe has an opportunity to work with some of these sort of people at, like, when it comes to publishing and labels and stuff?
Well, the one thing that I always kind of say, well, the one thing that was always like non-negotiable for me was that kind of everything still has to be my decision at the end of the day. Like, if I don't want to do something, we're not doing it, kind of thing. And so I'd say just get a team of people around you who are okay with that. You know, like I went into my publishing deal, because I got that deal first. And it was kind of the whole way. It was like, we don't, like, they all had the same ideas that I had. So, like, I didn't want to put songs out straight off the bat, you know, because I knew that they wouldn't perform as well as they would if I waited. And then as soon as Philip said to me, let's just write and record, I was like, yes, that's what I want to do as well, you know. And then as soon as I met Double Drummer, Ed and Tim, they're the people who run Double Drummer. We had so many meetings before I even signed with them, just talking, just like any questions you have, we would just go sit down, have a coffee and chat about what it entailed if I signed the contract, like what they could help me with. But at the end of the conversation, it was always back to, but it's always your decision, you know. We're never going to say, this is what's happening, you have no choice over this. It was always like, we will pose ideas or we will kind of guide you in a direction, but if it's not the way you want to go, it's your music, it's your decision, you know, that kind of thing. So like whenever I film anything or when it comes to releasing music, I always know at the end of the day, if they send me something, if they send me my music video and I'm not happy with it, I will always say, look, I love some parts of it, but can we do this, you know? And it's just like always be the one thing that I would say to someone who's like getting into this situation is, don't be scared to tell people what you want, because at the end of the day, it's your project, you know, it's not their project, you know, and they have to be on board with what you want to do. Like your ideas have to align. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. And I suppose I've been lucky because I've just found people who have the same vision for me that I do. And I couldn't imagine, you know, getting excited about like signing with someone and then them not having the same vision that I do. But that's definitely what I would say, because otherwise you're just letting yourself down because you're not going to be able to do what you want to do.
Mm. That's so cool. And I think it's so important. Like, it's so cool hearing that you have that sort of mentality, especially at such a young age, because I think it's such an important thing to have, to have that sort of mature sort of mindset when it comes to dealing with like stuff when it comes to music business, because it could be pretty daunting, like especially for younger artists. And it can sometimes, you know, it's sad when sometimes you see them like sort of drowned out by sometimes the bigger voices. So, it's just so cool to hear your insight as well. Let's dive back into the music side of things. I feel like we've spent plenty of time on the sort of music business side of things, but I want to go back to sort of like the songwriting thing. And you were talking about how, like, we're talking about how you're sort of coming from the mindset of being a storyteller. And then the thing that stuck out for me before is how you're talking about how, like, you struggle to talk about your feelings sort of like in real life, like in person, but you're able to do it in songs. I'm exactly the same. And I feel like a lot of songwriters are too. I'm sure there's a lot of songwriters listening that can relate.
Yeah.
And it's weird, isn't it? Because it's like when it comes to music and lyrics, it's like, yeah, it's fine. So when it comes to your songwriting process, well, let's start off with like the lyrics and the music. So you obviously work on both, right? And for you, is there like a process when it comes to writing the lyrics or the music first? Like, is there one that comes first before the other? Or what does a general songwriting process look like for Lucy Pearl?
Yeah, it's so hard. I get asked this question so much and I never know like how to answer it, because I feel like when I write, I'm kind of in a trance. So it's kind of like I don't even know what I'm doing at the time. So I like always try to think back. I'm like, what was I doing when I was writing this song? But the one thing that I would say is I always kind of, when I sit down to write a song, I will always work out what chords I'm going to use before I think of any lyrics, because I find it easier to put my lyrics into a melody, if that makes sense. So like if I'm playing the chords and I already kind of have a melody in my head, I'll find it easier to come up with the words from that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then if I am like somewhere else and not writing a song, this is what I will normally do. Like if I'm, because I always get my ideas at random times. Like I'll never get my ideas when I'm sitting down at my piano ready to write a song, you know. Yeah, I always just get them so randomly. So I have like a little folder in my notes. I have so many folders in my notes. I have one folder that's just for song ideas. Then I have one folder that's for almost finished songs. So it's like if I've written half a song and I've still got half of it to go, kind of thing. And then I've got another folder that has all of my songs that I've finished. Like I'm done with them. Like there's nothing else I want to work on them for. And so whenever I'm just somewhere random and I get a song idea, I'll just write it into that little song ideas folder. And so then when I sit down to write a song, I'll kind of have all these ideas that I can go back and decide what do I feel like writing about right now. And then from that, I'll kind of come up with like what chords I want to play, how I want it to sound. And then from that, I'll come up with the words.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool. And I have a similar system too, like with the notes thing. I think it's so important as an artist, when you're a songwriter, like when you're creating your own stuff, to have that little bit of organization, and something like the Notes app can be so good for that. And I'm the same too, like ideas, like completed songs and then like little ideas and stuff. And that's so good when you can sit down and sort of like just cycle through some of those ideas and sort of, you know, sometimes I've sort of like put, I don't know if you've ever done this, like put sort of different ideas together. They're sort of like different parts, or just melded songs together as well.
Yeah, 100%.
And the songs that you are working on as well, like what can you tell us about sort of what's coming up? Are there any future releases lined up down the line, or is it sort of just like go with the flow, see what happens? Feel free to reveal as much or as little as you'd like.
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm planning on putting out an album early next year. And so kind of the whole idea for this year was to just release a bunch of singles kind of in the lead up to that, just to get my name out there more and get more traction. So then when the album comes, so like a few people already know who I am, you know, so I already have kind of a name in the industry before releasing my first big project. And so that's kind of what the plan is. But I don't know which single's coming next because we always seem to leave it to the last minute. Like it'll be like right now, it's 3 weeks into my release, and it'll get a few weeks more in, and then all of a sudden we'll all just be like, oh my God, what's coming next? That's kind of the way it always goes. And because that's how I'm with Crown Sun and Backup. Yeah. And so now it's like, huh, what are we doing next? Let's think about that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see which song comes out. But yeah, it's always exciting because it's always exciting to see which song everyone is thinking about. And often we're always thinking about the same song, which is really, it's really cool how all of our kind of minds work together. And I always say that my mom's part of my team as well, because she is like the leading lady. If she doesn't like what we're doing, we're not doing it, you know.
Gotta like get mum's stamp of approval.
Yeah, like she gets CC'd into all the emails and everything. Like it's my mom and me. It's not just me, it's my mom and me. Yeah, me and mum have been talking about what song, but you know, I don't really know. We'll see how it goes, but it's exciting. I love the lead up to a release and, you know, figuring it all out, because it's the creative part and it's the best. It's the best part.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no bigger thrill, like as a musician, as your own artist, to lease something out there into the world. And it's so good just to see the stuff that you have done already is doing so well. And it's still early days for you. It's funny, like you've been doing this for what, 5, 6, 7 years now. But, you know, you're still so early in the journey and there's so much potential, which is the most exciting thing, especially when it comes to younger artists. And on that topic, how have you found juggling sort of growing up as a teenager and sort of developing this music career? And, you know, you seem really mature now. As I've mentioned, you seem really mature in sort of your mentality and how you approach it, and you seem very professional, but also juggling being a teenager and stuff, like when it comes to school. Like, are you in year 12 this year?
Yes.
Yeah. So how have you found that, sort of prioritizing things?
Well, I actually had a promo thing the other day where I had to answer a bunch of questions about myself. And one of them was, how do you juggle school and music? And my answer was, I don't. That's the answer. I don't.
Appreciate the honesty.
I don't deal with it. All right. We have breakdowns in here because I just want to do music, but I'm still at school and I don't want to be. So, you know, it's just the whole thing of like just remembering that this is the last year I'll have to spend in school. And, you know, there's no point giving up now because I've only got what, like 3 months or something until I'm out. So it's like I'd just be letting myself down. Like my two year ago self, I'd just be letting her down if I just dropped out now. And so it's kind of just remembering that. And also, you know, I can still do all of the music stuff that I do now. It'll just be a lot easier once I'm out of school, you know? So it's not like I'm really jeopardizing anything. It's more of a juggling game, I suppose. But yeah, I think the way that I just manage it is just through, just giving myself time when I need it, like not forcing myself to write if I'm drained, or, you know, not forcing myself to do schoolwork if it's not what I want to do right now. Because the last thing that you want to do if you want to sit down and write a song is to put that aside to do homework, you know what I mean?
I suppose
I just go with the flow and I just listen to myself and like, what do you want to do right now, you know? And I suppose the hardest thing with school, like through my whole life, I suppose, is just always feeling different. I feel like that's a big thing with songwriters, like everywhere. Like I do a class with Gina Jeffries once a week and I'll often talk about how I just feel different. Like I can't say it any other way than that, because I don't know why I feel different. I don't know what to say to make myself feel less different. I don't know what to do, you know? It's just like, this is how I'm feeling. And she said to me once, she was like, that's how I felt my entire life until I met Becky Cole. And she was like, when I met Becky Cole, that's when I was like, oh my God, there's someone who's like me, you know? So it's kind of like, it's hard being a songwriter because we're so emotional. Like I'm so emotional and I would just cry at anything.
Yeah.
And it's really bad. Like I can't keep my emotions in a lot of the time, and other people don't understand that, I feel, you know?
Yeah.
Which is tough, but it's rewarding as well, because, you know, we get to go home and play music, you know, like that's the best part of my life is going home and playing music. So, you know, it's, I would never trade it for the world.
Exactly. So good. So good. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time out to have a chat on the podcast. I feel like this could go on forever. And as I mentioned, there's so much potential for your career to go forward. So potential we'll have you back on the podcast down the line to sort of catch up on where you're at. I shouldn't mention this. I feel like there's like a songwriter arm. There's like Gina Jeffries has a songwriter army. I've had so many. Like, I don't know if you know like Alaska, like Kelly Griffith. Taylor. Who else is it? I don't know. I feel like there's so many, especially on the Central Coast here where we are. There's so many of them. But before I let you go, I've got one final question to ask. I kick myself every time I bring up Taylor Swift on the podcast because I seem to do it every second episode.
I mean, she is the leader of songwriting, let's be honest.
That's true. But favorite Taylor Swift album, which I know is a big discussion point, favorite Taylor Swift album, go.
Oh, this is so hard. Okay, my favorite would either be Red or Folklore. Mm. It's kind of a tie. I don't know which one I would choose. Just the heartbreak songs. I love them. I can't get enough.
Fair enough. Some good choices there, that's for sure. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And we'll make sure to have all of Lucy's stuff linked down in the description wherever you're listening to this episode. Make sure you check out Lucy's stuff. The new single, Backup, is out right now. It's a really, really cool track. Really, really chill vibes. So make sure you go check it out. Once again, Lucy, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I had the best time.
Thanks, heaps, for checking out this episode of Indie Music Diaries. As mentioned, all of Lucy's stuff will be linked in the description of this podcast. New episodes of Indie Music Diaries are dropping every single Wednesday, available on all of the podcast platforms and YouTube as well. And don't forget my debut EP, Crush On You, available right now. So exciting. So make sure you go give that a spin after listening to Lucy's stuff as well. And until next Wednesday, hope you guys have a great week.